Welcome to the Group Home Riches Podcast. If you have the desire to be your own boss, create your own schedule, and become financially free while at the same time helping people in need, then you've come to the right place. At GroupHomeRiches.com, we teach people exactly like yourself how to get started in the group home business. And on this podcast, you're going to hear their stories firsthand. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Group Home Riches Podcast. Today's episode, we are catching up with a former Rockstar podcast interviewee, Idris. We also have the founder of Group Home Riches on the podcast as well. Idris, thank you so much for coming on, and I can't wait to hear what you've been up to.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this interview, so I'm excited. Whatever questions you have, I am ready to answer anything that you have and to contribute to anything that can help people.
Beautiful. So let's just keep it. I have a couple of questions. You know, I want to catch up and hear your background. But since we were kind of rocking and rolling before we even started recording, Andy, I'll let you take it away. Why don't you ask Idris to kind of talk about what we were
Idris. So a couple minutes ago, before we started recording, you were telling Brandon and I what you've been up to. Do you mind just kind of recapping that real quick for everyone and us?
So one of the exciting things that I've been doing right now is I know sometimes people who are looking to get into group homes, they may have a struggle with being able to contact owners of houses who are open to the idea. So one of the particular niches that I'm looking at right now that I've had a lot of success with are BRRRR investors. The thing about a lot of BRRRR investors, and if you don't know what BRRRR is, that means buy, that means renovate, that means rent, that means refinance, and that means repeat. So these are individuals who are renovating houses, and instead of flipping the houses, they're looking to hold on to them long-term. They're going to refinance it, pull out the equity, and move on to their next house. So these individuals are looking to build up a portfolio for consistent income. And the beautiful thing about us is we are able to sublease these properties for them. And because interest rates have gone up, so that means the cost of debt has gone up, which means their payment has gone up in return or whatever. That means from a cash flow perspective, they're not bringing in as much money as they were in a low interest environment. Well, with our business model, because we're able to cash flow so well, we can afford to pay them market rent or, you know, maybe $100, $200, $300, even more than that. So just imagine that if somebody is doing four projects a year, they're getting an extra $300 per project from we're doing on a monthly basis. We're giving them an extra $1,200 per month, $1,200 times 12 months. They're bringing in an extra $14,400 every single year. Now, from our perspective, it works well because we're able to get into these houses without having to qualify for them. And guess what? Birds of a feather flock together. So what does that mean? They're going to tell all their buddies about us and what we're able to do. So in terms of us being able to find inventory, we don't have to search anymore because they're telling all their friends about us. And my phone is ringing. I'm getting all these emails. I'm getting all these people contacting me on social media because of what I've done with one relationship. And that's the beautiful thing about what we're able to do in this business. You know, we kind of got to put our creative hats on or whatever, but these are some particular markets that we can target depending on, you know, where we are.
Awesome. Love to hear it. It's just the textbook partnership or working with investor pitch that we talk about in the gold course and the school group, everything, right? You're just embodying it here. So let's switch it up a little bit, Idris. Let's do maybe a little bit of role play. So let's say we're at a meetup, which I wanted to talk to you about, by the way, the meetups. We've seen them in the school group. It's awesome.
Right.
But I'm a BRRRR investor. So I've been doing real estate investing. I've been making $200 or $300 per month, cash flowing nicely. Little bit of headaches here and there, but for the most part, it's going good. I'm at a meetup. What do you say to somebody when you're just first introducing yourself to them?
Well, you know, I'll just say My name is Idris. I'm with Leah's Home Away From Home. We do shared living investing. And basically, we partner with a lot of real estate investors who are utilizing the BRRRR strategy to help them have guaranteed income, which allows them to go from project to project to project. And one of the benefits that we're able to bring to the table is that we can pay you market rent, and you know, we could probably pay you even more than market rent because of the type of real estate niche that we are developing. Another thing is the individuals that we have in the homes, they have guaranteed income. Also, we handle all maintenance and repairs for anything that's not under warranty. So this really allows you to become a passive investor so you can really focus on continuing to do your projects and you can continue to get this guaranteed cash flow without worrying about all the property management as well as any evictions. We'll take care of that for you.
I'm going to break the role play. I do want to go back to this, though. I want to kind of handle some of the common questions that people ask in the school group, et cetera. But Andy, come on. If you're at a meetup group and you never knew about this business before, even prior to it, if you met Idris and he told that to you, what are your thoughts going to be?
Yeah, number one, I'm all over it. I'm all about it. Number two, he's speaking my language. Number three, I'm going to ask him, we'll get into this in a second. I'm going to ask him how many properties he's doing this with, how long he's been doing it. And then number four, I'm going to hear the excitement in his voice, which 9 times out of 10, if you've got an excited voice like that, there's something inside of you that is causing you to take action and work. And I'm going to like that. And I'm going to notice that, because the people that sound very mopey and we kind of do this or we kind of do that, they don't have any conviction in their voice. And chances are they don't have any conviction in their spirit. So I would definitely be interested in learning more.
Beautiful. Awesome. Awesome.
It's one of the things. So we'll come to Andy's questions, because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to kind of give the folks a real life role play. One of the things that you guys can do for a conviction, and we're going to hear Idris is rocking and rolling, but if you follow the first steps in our gold course, which you don't have to have a property for, it's about building relationships with nonprofits and building that confidence up so you do have that conviction in your voice. It is going to be very hard to partner with an investor if you haven't done those first steps, which is a point I want to make. So, Idris, I'll kick those questions that Andy had for you. You know, how many properties do you have and how long have you been doing it for?
Right. You know, what's excellent is I know since the last time that we spoke, I think I was around 8 or 9 houses. So now we're at 11. Yep. And as a matter of fact, tomorrow, I'm really excited. Tomorrow, I have to meet an individual. He has a 7-bedroom house, and then he owns a 3-bedroom house right next door to it. So we'll see.
Unbelievable.
We may be at 13 tomorrow, so we'll see. But nonetheless, we have 11. So in terms of how long I've been doing it, I've been working with my lady. You know, you interviewed us last time. We've been doing it for about 18 months. And I would say she has been doing it for 12 years. I've been doing creative real estate for about 21 years. But once I really started to look at her business model, I bought the gold course. I said, look, this is it. This is what we need to do. This is what we need to focus on and hone in on. And to me, this is the greatest real estate investment strategy there is for anybody getting started, period.
Period. Dude, I freaking love your enthusiasm. This is why you're so successful. I don't mean to interrupt, but it's contagious. Keep talking.
No, but I'm serious, because the thing is, you know, all these people, you know, life happens. I don't have great credit. I don't have the most money. I don't have this. I don't have that. And that prevents people from getting in real estate. The thing is, I don't have to convince anybody that money can be made in real estate. But the question is, can you make money in real estate? And the only way to know beyond a shadow of a doubt if you can make money in real estate is to get a property and for it to start cash flowing. And the easiest way, despite wherever you are financially and everything, I told a little bit about my story, how to start from scratch, is that you can rent a property and sublease it out. I call it, the most beautiful part about this business is you're able to create multi-family income off of a single family residence. And most of us can occupy a single family residence. And even if we don't have the qualifications, we can partner with somebody who is frustrated to help them create additional cash flow. And you only need one. You got to start with one. And once you get one and you build up a track record and everything, that's all it takes for you to build that momentum to create a portfolio for yourself.
Dude, this is going to be mind-blowing to so many people listening to you talk about this. 18 months, potentially tomorrow, could be on your 13th property. Again, guys, this is mind-blowing stuff. Listen to what he's doing. And I mean, Brandon, how did you wind up asking him to come back on? Was it because he was being pretty active in the school group?
Well, that and the meetups, which I want to talk about that, but Idris, you just dropped the bomb. And I don't know, I've never thought about this. Maybe you have, Andy. We're always saying how can cash flow around 10x of a typical rental property.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that, Idris?
Oh, absolutely.
So he just hit the nail on the head. You're getting multifamily cash flow on one single family residence.
Hey, Brandon, do you mind if I break that down for everybody real quick?
Yes, please.
Okay, guys. So I'm an owner of larger buildings. Again, I'm very hands-on. I like stuff that does produce a lot of cash flow. But your average building that is out there is going to cash flow, you know, kind of best case scenario, about 5% of your equity injection. So just to do real quick numbers, if you bought an $8 million building, okay, and you raised the money and you put $4 million down each and every year, that's going to be about $200,000, okay? You as the general partner and your general partnership group are going to be entitled to about 20% of that $200,000, which is $40,000 a year. Mind you, I didn't say you as the general partner. I said you as part of the general partnership group. Typically, there's going to be a couple of y'all that are part of a group, let's say three people. That means each person is making about $13,000 a year or about $1,100 a month. So what Idris just told you is actually not just true, it's actually better than if you went out and bought an $8 million building and you had three general partners. I just laid it out and gave you guys the math. And we can do the math with a calculator later on if you really want to see it. But what Idris is telling you is that you can take one little house and have more cash flow on that one little house than you would off of an $8 million building.
So Andy, let's use Idris as a kind of a case study. Let's say it's 13, you know, single family homes. And let's just use our conservative average numbers for the cash flow or the shared living model.
Yep.
How much money do you think somebody would need to raise in multifamily in order to replicate that type of cash flow?
Well, we can just do quick math on it. So we're talking 13.
I know you're good at it. So that's why I wanted to ask.
Yeah. So we take 13 properties times $2,500 a month is $32,500 per month. Multiply that by 12, it'd be $390,000. Now, let's just round up and call it 400 grand. 400 grand of free cash flow. So if you raised $10 million in cash and put no debt on the building, which, by the way, you're not going to do, but you would have to raise $10 million to have $400,000, just give or take, of cash flow. And of that cash flow, you're going to be entitled to, again, going back about $80,000 divided by three people. So we're going to just do the math. $80,000 divided by three people is $26,000 a year. And we got 400,000 divided by 26,000. So you need $150 million of free and clear money, guys. So you need 15 $10 million buildings.
How much money have you needed to raise, Idris?
Let's see. So we've done it a variety of ways, okay? So some have been our own personal cash. Some has been, we've leveraged credit cards. Others, we have had an investor come in. She, for one of the properties, we got three at one time. So she gave us $10,000 and we gave her 20% ROI annualized on hers and everything. But in terms of raising cash, we haven't had to raise any money. As a matter of fact, we were looking at doing a business model to where you put up the money for us to get into the property. We'll do all the operations and everything, and then we'll split everything 50-50. However, I started thinking as an investor, it's really not a smart business move for us because the barriers of entry are so low. Why would I give you 50% of our cash flow when I'm doing all the work and you're only giving me like $10,000? I'm not asking for $100,000. I'm not asking for $200,000. We only need about $5,000, $7,000, $10,000 to get into a property. So it doesn't make sense, assuming we're getting $2,500 free cash flow, you know, annualized. $2,500 times 12 is $30,000, giving you $15,000, which is 50% on your $10,000 investment. I might as well just bootstrap that. So we've been doing, you know, for all of these properties and everything. So if it makes sense, we will entertain someone giving us capital. But for right now, for what we're doing, it doesn't, we don't need it. And then once you really start to get yourself established and everything, the cash flow is so strong, you're going to be able to have enough money to be able to self-finance anything yourself.
Bingo.
Beautiful.
So Andy just broke down how you would have needed to raise, what was it, $10 million?
$10 million for $400,000 of annual cash flow, which after you split it up, remember, you're going to get about 20% of that. And then chances are you're going to have partners, because there's no way in hell you're going to go and buy 15, $10 million buildings without partners. There's just no way. I mean, you got to oversee insurance, accounting. There's just too much to oversee. So again, you're going to have to go raise $150 million in order to be able to compete with Idris.
That's great.
Those are real numbers, guys. Those are real numbers.
Idris, obviously, it's going to vary depending on how big the properties are. You know, we're typically probably in the 3 to 5 bedroom range, right?
Right. So one of the things that we've been doing is we like 4 bedrooms or more. However, we do get 3 bedrooms. So one of the things that we've been looking at is a lot of times in these 3 bedrooms, especially, so if we find a 3 bedroom that's 1,500 square feet or more, more than likely there are other areas of the house that we can convert to a room. So one of the areas that we like the most are the dining rooms, because a lot of the dining rooms, they already have a build out of where you can place a door. And I can go to Home Depot or Lowe's. I can buy a door for $100. I can get a handyman to put that door on for $150. So I'm spending an additional $250 of cash. Well, I know in that room, if I'm doing single room occupancy, I know I'm getting $800 a month. 800 times 12 is $9,600. I've spent $250. Imagine if I'm doing double occupancy at $650 per bed, which is $1,300. My cash flow, my yield is just through the roof. So that's one of the things we've done is we'll go into houses and we'll look at spaces to where we can create additional rooms without spending a substantial amount of money. And the ROI is just, I don't know anywhere else that you can get that ROI. I just don't.
Yeah. So I just want to paint the picture for folks because we're throwing the numbers out there for them. So it's roughly, we're talking just single family homes, 4 or 5 bedrooms, give or take. When you hear Andy give the gross revenue, let's assume the 13th property does go through. Andy's numbers that he said there, are they pretty accurate for you as far as cash flow goes?
Yes.
And yeah, the ROI is basically incalculable, especially if you're not coming up with the money to purchase the property yourself, right?
Right.
This is one of Andy's quotes, kind of theories. Andy, do you want to tell them how you analyze a deal if you need a calculator?
Brandon, why don't you say it since you've heard me say it so many times?
So I've asked them just, you know, hey, I know it's off the charts, but have you ever calculated the ROI on your group homes? And he said, look, if I need to break out a calculator, it's not a deal.
Yeah. If it takes a calculator to figure out if it's a good deal, it's not a good deal. And the problem has been over the last 15 years, the spreads on every asset class out there, whether you're buying Apple computer stock or whether you're buying a multifamily project or a retail strip center, the spreads have gotten so thin that you do have to whip out calculators, and it's pointless. Guys, we just talked about it a second ago. You would have to have $150 million deployed into the marketplace to buy 15, $10 million buildings to make the same amount of money that Idris is going to make. It's not even funny, you know? And the other thing is this, what happens if that $150 million, for whatever reason, of real estate goes to $70 million? You get your loan called and you're screwed. And by the way, that is happening right now. That's what just happened about a year ago with Silicon Valley Bank, right? So they bought these long-dated bonds, government treasuries, at call it 1% or 2%. And then the Fed took the rates up to 5% and the bonds collapsed. Well, the same thing happens with real estate. The exact same thing. Real estate is a dirty man's bond market. That's all it is. So Idris is doing this without any of the risk. There's no risk. He's making more than it would take the average general partner an entire career to make. And he's done it in 18 months with no risk. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's had to work hard and everything else. There's a little bit of risk. But compared to having $150 million of real estate out there that potentially goes to 70, which by the way, that is happening right now. Idris isn't even dealing with that. He's dealing with single family homes, which are quite frankly, the most liquid of all asset classes in the real estate space out there.
Right. Yep.
So before we got all pumped up about the numbers and stuff, we were talking about kind of pitching this to investors. That is something for the new beginners out there that are maybe just thinking about working with a landlord, right? The cash flow on these things is insane. We all get pumped up about it because we're from the real estate investing space, so we understand. So you are going to want to mention, hey, it's a way to 10x the cash flow of a typical rental property, which just sounds absurd to most people upfront, but you just heard us break it down. So I have our school group open and you can kind of see here, this is our partnership opportunity section. So you see investors popping in here, you know, they're looking for operators, right? But what Idris has been doing is seeking investors in his area, utilizing meetups, and I'm sure some other avenues as well. But what are some of the common objections that you get, Idris? So they're going to get pumped up about the money. They hear, okay, it's going to be passive. All right, this guy, he can pay me more. Sounds like he's getting guaranteed checks. What are some of the common questions or objections that you get from people kind of once you pique their interest?
Yeah, I'll say one of them is, who are the type of people who are going to be in our homes and everything? You know, another thing I'll get is, you know, you're going to have all these different people in our homes. What about the wear and tear on our homes? What about all of the, any type of maintenance and repairs that need to be done to the properties or whatever? Also, how are you going to be able to guarantee our income? Another objective may be, let's see. Those are pretty much the main ones that they'll bring up or whatever. And then typically just with what I've learned from the gold course or whatever, you can pretty much overcome, you know, all of those objections or whatever. The key thing is, I would just say, focus on the material that's in the gold course and you just got to go out and practice it. If you mess up, here's the thing I say, look, if you go out there and someone asks you a question you don't know and you mess up, go into the school group. Say, look, a landlord asked me this question. I didn't know how to overcome the objection. You know, how would some of you overcome the objection? And you have thousands of people who are doing this business who can help you out. So, and the thing is, you have no risk. You have to think with an abundance mentality and everything. Because remember, you only need one house to get started. In the beginning, you're going to suck. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to say some things. You're not going to know what to say. It's going to happen. That's fine. But at least you're going out, taking action. And now you can put real-time data into the group. And now you got thousands of people all over the country giving you perspectives and everything. Now you can go back or whatever. As a matter of fact, you can even say, you can even go back to that same individual and say, you know what? I didn't know all of the information or whatever. However, my business partner, they've been doing this for 10 years, 3 years, whatever. And I would like to introduce you to him or her. And maybe we can have a conversation of how this can work. Leverage your network that's right here in this school group, in this community, to make it a win-win transaction until where everybody wins. And that's what that would be my advice in terms of if you do receive some type of an objection and you can't overcome it. So the best thing to say, this is what I would say personally. Let's just say you're beginning. You don't have all this experience and everything. Here's what I would say. I'll say, you know what, Mr. or Mrs. Such and Such, that is an excellent question. You know, I was calling you just to gather some basic information or whatever. However, you know, my business partner is the expert in this business who's been doing it for a long time or whatever. Would it be okay if I set up a three-way call to where we can get on the phone and I'm confident we can get all of your questions answered? That's what I would do if someone asked a question I didn't know how to answer.
That's a beautiful way to handle any objection or question that you don't know. But I would rewind to the common objections and questions that you brought up. They're really going to be covered right here and just understanding the business model. Everybody you speak with is going to have the same questions that Idris, you probably had when you started out, right? I had the same ones for Andy. Everyone that comes to us kind of has those same questions that you brought up. So if you can understand the basics and understand it enough to explain it to a friend, then I think you'll be good at talking with those investors, especially if you do get out there and market first and build those relationships and put yourself in the position to bring value to an investor. But one of those first questions, and it is one of the most common ones, is that come from investors with experience, especially what kind of tenants are in there. You brought up a point that can be asked in a ton of different ways. So who's going to be living there? How do you get paid from them? How do you manage them? The motivation behind that question is, hey, I've had people that are qualified in my properties before, and they tore it up and didn't pay me. Right. Now you're talking about bringing, you know, 10 to 12 people that are unqualified. How are you going to protect me? That's what those types of questions mean. So how do you explain that to them?
I think the biggest way to explain that is say, look, these individuals have guaranteed income by Uncle Sam.
Bingo. I love how you put that. Yeah. Guaranteed income by Uncle Sam.
Yeah. And that right there puts them at ease. Say, look, they have SSI. They have disability. No matter what you think about our political landscape and everything that's going on in this country, one thing that I know is those checks come in on time, guaranteed, month in, month out.
Well, Idris, that's great. They pay, but what happens if they're off their meds and they start punching holes in the drywall? I just went through eviction during COVID, and it took me a year to get this tenant out of my property. I do not want to go through that again. So how do you handle that?
So one of the great things is that we will handle all of that for you. We are not establishing a tenant-landlord relationship with these residents. You know, with these residents, if they violate any of our policies we have in place, they are immediately removed. And here's the great part. You're not going to go to eviction court. We're going to handle all of that ourselves. And then not only that, we will pay you. So you're not reliant on them just paying you. You can rely on us being able to pay you. And I have references from all of our landlords. We've never been late. Not one time on any of our payments. You can use that as security.
Pretty solid. I mean, I don't know how you could not be sold on that. So yeah, if you guys go through the gold course, we're giving you kind of examples here of what an investor might ask you. We really do have a solution to everything that they say or that they're going to think of. And it's not just a pitch or a script. It's we're literally giving them what they want, what they want to hear. So I have it pulled up here. Idris brought up the tenant agreement, I think you called it, or we call it the legal term for it is the licensee agreement. So yeah, we're not leasing to these people, right? And this has the house rules in there. In ours, it's written heavily in the favor of the operator, but that's because we are taking on a lot of risk, right? These are people that are not qualified. So in theory, if they aren't even cleaning up after themselves, we can ask them to leave. And there's no eviction process for that. It's just like a hotel or an Airbnb or something like that.
Exactly.
Beautiful. So up to 13 properties, a year and a half. You were doing real estate before this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you said earlier that this is hands down the best strategy for anybody. What are just kind of the bullet point advantages of this compared to the other real estate investing strategies you've done?
I would say the best thing about this business model is, for one, we have so many opportunities to be able to create a solution, okay? So for example, we have so many landlords right now that are frustrated, all right? And then not only that, the solution that we're providing with housing is that we are able to provide a solution for the affordable housing crisis. And what I tell people is, I don't care what happens in the history on this earth, safe, clean, affordable housing will always be in demand. I don't care what happens to the economy. Because one of the hardest things about business is to be able to find clients, prospects, people that we can sell our product and services to. Well, guess what? Everyone needs a house. Everyone needs a home. And especially for a lot of the individuals that were targeted, these are at-risk populations, and the foundation to provide stability for them is housing. If we can put them in a safe, clean, affordable environment, now they can get the mental health services that they need. Now they can get the home health services that they need. Now they can become stabilized so therapists or whoever can come help them with whatever it is that they need. And that is one of the most beautiful parts about this business. You know, when you look at other aspects of real estate, like when you get into, wholesaling or rehabbing, you know, it's a tough pitch to be able to have somebody sell you their house 50, 60 cents on the dollar. And then the competition is fierce. Everyone knows about wholesaling, rehabbing. And so you're competing against everybody in your marketplace and everything. You know, with this, there's really no competition. Say, look, you know what, Mr. or Mrs. Landlord or whatever, I will offer you fair market value for your house. We're going to take care of all the repairs on your house. This is going to allow you to have all of the tax benefits of your house. You're going to have that guaranteed cash flow every single month. We're going to be paying you money if you have a mortgage. So your mortgage is getting paid down. And more than likely, long-term, the value of your house is going up. We're helping you create wealth long-term for yourself without you having to do anything. So once we start talking about those different angles and everything, it becomes a no-brainer for a lot of people. You know, the only caveat to that is sometimes with investors, though, they will start counting your money. They're like, well, you know, if you're making this much money, well, I need to be able to charge you a premium. So that's the only thing you have to be aware of. And what you have to do is kind of put your thinking cap on to see, does it make sense financially? Because for myself personally, I'm not willing to pay a premium when I know I can just call another landlord to get it at fair market value. And that's just, my business model.
I think the absolute best way to handle that objection is to be in a state of abundance. So if someone puts a ridiculous offer on you, maybe they have calculated it themselves and they're going to ask for 60, 70% or just charge you like double rent or something crazy like that. I'm sure this is not a script or a pitch, or you don't have to act. You can probably confidently say, well, okay, thank you, but I got five other people that want to do business with me, so I'm going to talk to them.
Right. That's exactly.
And before that, what Idris kind of just exemplified was just the simple supply and demand. So everyone can look outside and you can see how much demand there is for affordable housing. If not, you could go do what I just did and look up the news and look up affordable housing, and you'll just see article after article after article. So there's massive demand for it and very little supply. How many investors do you see talking about providing affordable housing and stuff like that, right? On the flip side, how many of these signs do you see? These we buy houses at signs, right? So all the investors are looking at flips, wholesaling, et cetera. That creates a big gap in the market that very few people look into. And that just happens to be you guys that are listening to this podcast. So we've talked about the benefits, kind of the strategies here. I wanted to talk to you about meetups and how you are finding these investors. Cause as you know, I'm always encouraging folks to go to meetups, you know, shake hands with investors. I think maybe the reason I do that is because that's how I got started in real estate wholesaling. Were you the same? Did you start going to meetups and networking locally when you were just starting out real estate investing?
I did everything. I started back in 2003. I was just so hungry and ambitious just to be able to do a deal. I went to every single REIT I can go to. This was back in the day before everything was online. I used to look at newspapers. I mean, I just, meetups, just forming a relationship with someone is probably the fastest way to create progress in whatever it is that you're doing or whatever. So these meetups have been so beneficial to myself.
Agreed, 100%. And I do see the reluctance in going there. I was a little bit nervous to go when I was first starting out. I was expecting it to be like Shark Tank, where there were going to be investors. They're kind of going to be grilling you about your deals, or they just kind of blow you off if you were new. Right. It's the exact opposite. Everybody there is super cool, super friendly. Even if you are completely wet behind the ears, they're extremely happy to help.
Yes.
99.9% of the people that I've met at meetups.
Yes.
That exactly. No matter what their experience level. So that's why I encourage our coaching clients, our done for you clients, everybody in school. When they ask, oh, I can't find a landlord to work with me. Cool. How many meetups have you gone to? Oh, I haven't gone to any. All right, here we go. Look it up. Go to one. We have the perfect pitch. We have the perfect business idea.
Right.
If you do those first steps, right, you do your marketing, you know your stuff, you have your systems in place. You said it earlier. It's a no-brainer for any investor to partner with the operator on this business, right? So I have it pulled up for folks that are just listening on audio. We're having doing a screen share and video that they're going to see on YouTube. So I have it pulled up, just kind of talks about meetups in the school group. And this is kind of one of the main reasons I wanted to have you on, besides your incredible story and stuff like that. But look how many people were talking about the local meetup challenge. So I put this out. Idris has already been doing it. He's been hosting meetups. So why don't you kind of talk to us about, when we talk about meetups, what are they? Mm-hmm. You know, talk about your experience with not just going to them, but actually hosting them. And what kind of opportunities have you come across from doing that?
Yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all, anybody can do this in the United States. So check this out. I'm going to tell you where you get the venue from. So one of the things that Genevieve and I have done or whatever is, we created a meetup in our local area. We're in Atlanta, Georgia. We're in the Atlanta, Georgia area. There are three. So here's the venue, y'all. So first thing we did was we created a meetup group. And then after we created a meetup group, we need to figure out, okay, where are we going to have people gather? Look, y'all, Total Wine and More. So let me tell you why I like Total Wine and More. The one is free. The first thing is free.
Is this national?
Yes, okay. National. Total Wine. So yeah, go to the webpage. All right, so click on it, and I'm going to show you exactly where to go. Total Wine and More. Yeah, you just click on that. Scroll down to the bottom of the page, and they're going to have, hold on, stores. Go to class, book our room, all right? And then right here, this will allow you, go down to where it says, go to meetings. See, I think it's under meetings, if I'm not mistaken, right here.
Business club meeting.
Oh, that's what you want. The free. There you go. Free. Yep. That's what you want. Club meeting overview and everything. And then it allows you to schedule a meeting right there. You just got to choose a location. And then here's another cool thing about it. They give you a free wine tasting as well. So a lot of people, you know, they like the, you know, whether you're in the wine or not or whatever, it's just a great environment. It's a professional environment. You don't have to do any setting up or whatever. You know, you just need to come and put together a presentation, or maybe it's just a networking event. And the way that I structure mine is I just have where everyone in the very beginning, we do like a meet and greet. Everyone will kind of introduce themselves. Who are you? What do you do? What's your experience? And then what brought you here today? And then after that, you know, I may do like kind of like a small presentation talking about how this is the ultimate investment strategy you may have never heard of. And then, you know, we'll kind of get into the ins and the outs of that. Then we'll do the wine tasting. And then after that, you know, it's just networking. People getting to know each other. You're able to grow your network. And it's an opportunity for us as the hosts. We're meeting landlords. We're meeting people who may have money, who may want to be investors. You may have people who are interested in, you know, learning this business model or whatever. You're meeting all types of people or whatever. And one of the greatest things about it is that you just never know who others know. Someone say, you know what? I know an individual who has a house and such. You really need to talk to him or her. And now you're able to really grow your network. And at the same time, you're not just growing your network. You're helping other individuals grow their network as well. And you're seen as the center of influence. So a lot of the credit, you know, comes back to you, which is a great position to be in.
100%. I love that. So it was just funny. I was trying to get people to just go to meetups. And then Adrice is like, hey, I've been hosting meetups. Are you going to meetup.com to advertise them?
Yes, meetup.com and Eventbrite. Those are the two platforms. And then, of course, you have Facebook groups and stuff, and LinkedIn groups. So those are the main ways that I advertise. I'll tell you another thing that I do as well is I do group home tours as well. So what I'll do is I'll put one of our locations where you can actually come and lay eyes on exactly what it is that we do. And those have been very popular as well.
Those are huge. For visual people, I was really kind of confused about the strategy when I first met Andy. You know, I had the same kind of questions and reservations that everybody had. And he was just like, you know what? Let's just go look at him. We walked through him. I was like, oh, I get it. This is easy.
Right.
Now, are you doing that for investors that are interested or anybody that has interest in the business model? You'll host tours.
Yeah, I'll open it up to anyone. But one of the great things when investors come or whatever, it really creates credibility for yourself. Mm-hmm. So instead of it just being some type of a concept, like you said, they're laying eyes on it. And most people are visual. So they get to see how we're operating. They can see how clean the houses are. They can, as a matter of fact, we've even had, you know, residents come out and, you know, talk to them or whatever. And then after that, it's a no-brainer for them. They're like, look, let's get in touch next week and let's talk about how we can move forward.
How many of the 13 properties that you have, how many of them would you say have come from these types of meetups or either directly or indirectly?
I would say five of them. Yeah, five of them.
Folks, that's worth your time.
Right.
It's free. What he just laid out for you guys to do is 100% free.
Right, right. And let me give y'all another tip, all right? So I'm giving y'all some little tips. So check this out. Here's another thing that you can do. Partner with a group home operator and tell them, you know, describe the strategy to them. And maybe you may lack the capital or resources and everything or whatever. And say, look, I would like to bring some people to the table who will allow you to perhaps, you can't make any guarantees, utilize their home as a group home, and maybe we can figure out some way to where we can work together or partner up on this next home if I go out and do all the marketing for you. Is that something that you'll be interested in?
That's the ultimate way to start with if you have no money, right?
Right, right, right.
That's a great strategy to get your feet wet as well. Just kind of, have you done that yet?
Do you have any situations like that? That's one of the things that I'm opening up to. Like, I'm just thinking about, you know, how creative can I become? And, you know, the things that I look for is what is a way to where we can leverage all of our resources despite, you know, maybe where our personal finances are. Because, you know, I'm just a believer that everyone has, you know, value, some type of value or whatever. I may have to kind of bring that out of you or whatever, but if I can create something that's of a value to all parties or whatever, I'm opening to at least giving it a try. Like you say, in business, there's no guarantees, but we can at least try and assess what happens and then go from there.
Yeah. And one thing everybody could do for free is just be energetic, be positive, be excited.
Right.
Andy, you know, 20-year vet, hundreds of properties. And that was the thing that stuck out the most to him.
You can tell if your energy is contagious, you are going to be able to accomplish your goals. But you've got to have energy.
Yes.
Everything else can be taught, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
So, Andy, as an investor, I just kind of want to go down this path again. Imagine if you were in Atlanta, you had never heard about this business model before, you were at a meetup, you heard this pitch, you asked him all these questions, and then he took you on a tour and showed you the properties.
Oh, yeah. I'm all the guy, I'd be sold in a heartbeat.
Yeah. How many properties can you fill right now?
Right? That's exactly what my question would be.
Right.
And wait, I think that's typically what happens. You know, I mean, that's why you've been so successful.
Yeah. And the thing that I love most about what you're teaching everyone is focus on the marketing for residents first, because once you have that pipeline, it does give you confidence. I mean, imagine going to the owner of a house and say, look, I have 37 people waiting to get into a house just like this. You know, I have 4 apartments, but I really like this house. Is this something that you're open for us to do? And if you have 37 people, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, no matter what they say, you're going to go to the next person and you know you can get that house filled immediately. That's confidence right there.
100%. So that's what we tell people who are just stuck in the analysis paralysis stage. Oh, I don't have a home. So why would I market if I don't have a home? I don't have the money to get a home. So they're stuck. You can break out of that just by connecting with these nonprofits, the organizations, and doing your marketing first. So right. Was that the strategy that you followed, or did you have?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So what I've done is I've kind of thought about it. I've noticed that most of our residents come from kind of 2 sources, okay? Mm-hmm. So community referrals or general population. So when I acquire a house, my number one goal is I want to start cash flowing immediately.
Bingo.
Once I start cash flowing, now I can start working on maximizing profitability. And there's pros and cons to having referral relationships or the general population or whatever. So I kind of work both of those or whatever to get what I want.
Yeah, we tell it. That's, you see it in the Gold course and in our content all the time, right? Cast a wide net.
Right.
And I have it pulled up here, guys. We have live marketing calls in the Gold course that you can listen to. And you'll never hear us talk about the property or selling the property. You know, there's nothing fancy to say. You can call up a nonprofit in your area. Hey, my name's Idris. I'm a new investor. I don't have any properties yet. I do plan on getting a couple this year. Rather than go the traditional route, I'd like to offer affordable shared housing. You see, there's a massive need for it in the community. I see you have a blah, blah, blah program. I'm just calling to get more information on that. And then, Idris, I'm sure you had a similar pitch.
Yep.
9 out of 10 of them hung up on you and swore at you, right?
No, like the thing they are so open, because the thing is, because a lot of people that were calling, they're at nonprofits, they're case managers, they're social workers, they're discharge planners. One of the most difficult things about their job is to be able to find individuals' housing. And by you calling them or whatever, it's like, oh my God, you're such a blessing. Thank you for calling me. Where have you been? So they are so excited just to hear from us, and we're making calls to them. You know, generally speaking, they're making outbound calls all day long to try to be able to discharge these individuals. But by us being able to call them and tell them about what we're doing, they are so thankful for us. And you're able to develop so many relationships, because the thing about these individuals, they know so many other individuals who do the same thing that they do, and they're willing to give you referrals.
Yeah, word of mouth is, that's the best form of marketing.
Yes, absolutely.
And there are, one, there's so very few people in this strategy. They've probably had bad experience before with like slumlords and things like that. So if you actually are doing what you say you're going to do, you know, providing affordable, clean, shared housing and actually managing it, the word spreads fast from my experience.
It does. Yep. We get calls every single day from referrals. Every day.
It's a good problem to have.
Right.
Man, so much knowledge dropped on this. Andy, did you have any questions for Idris or anything?
I think we kind of answered all of them. I mean, a lot of it was, you know, the stuff I asked at the beginning. How long have you been doing this for? If you really step back and think about it, not that long. How many properties do you have? I mean, guys, he's about to have 13, potentially. We've got, you know, these two that we'll figure out here in the next day or two. We're talking about life-changing opportunity. We're talking about life-changing cash flow for 9.9 out of 10 people. I don't know if you guys saw the email that I put together this morning. These are things that I talk about all the time. I've been talking about it forever, but for whatever reason, lately, I've had a lot of people ask me questions about trying to just keep up. And I'm not talking about keeping up with the Joneses, but just keeping up with like grocery store costs, property taxes, you name it. And I am of the belief, and I could be wrong, there's probably some other things out there, but this was the business that set me free. The reason why it set me free was because, like Idris said, first thing he wanted to do, I wanted these little group homes to get, I need them cash flowing. So you have cash flow out of these things, and it is a cookie cutter process. Idris, aren't all those properties, for all intents and purposes, about the same, like how you run them?
Oh, yeah. Once you get a system in place and everything, you just put those systems and then things, you know, they start to, in the beginning, you have to do some work, but when you get those systems in place, they start to run themselves and you can empower other people so we can delegate a lot of those responsibilities to them as well.
I love it. So anyways, where I'm going with this is that because it's kind of a cookie cutter process, you finally have an opportunity to outpace the inflation that's out there, right? I mean, when eggs go from $1 a carton to $8 a carton, when your property taxes go from $1,000 a year to $5,000 a year, when rent that used to be $650 a month now goes to $1,250 a month, like the average person has no opportunity whatsoever of catching up and outpacing inflation or the growth in prices of things that we need every single day. Energy costs, fuel costs, you name it. This is a business that allows you to do that. And it allowed me to do it. And that's why I'm so happy that we've got a lot of y'all out there doing it. You're also helping people out. But again, so I think it's an amazing business. It's an amazing business opportunity. And the supply demand imbalance is completely out of whack. There is no supply for this type of housing. There's none. Yet there's demand. All you have to do is walk down the street. You will see the demand for this type of housing just driving over to the grocery store.
Absolutely. One example I'd like to use to paint that picture is, Idris, you're in Atlanta, correct?
Right. Yep.
How many of these "We Buy Houses" cash signs do you see?
Oh, yeah. I see them all over the place. Yeah. You see them everywhere.
How many people out there want to sell their property for pennies on the dollar so an investor can make a ton of money?
Right. No. They're not.
It's like 100. You go into these meetings with motivated sellers, they literally have a stack of these postcards on right? On the flip side, how many signs or advertising like this do you see about affordable housing?
No. Non-existent.
How many people need affordable housing?
Right. There's so many. So many. Yeah. I had it
pulled up here. There's a shortage of 7.3 million homes. Mm. So those are real numbers, guys, to show you the opportunity in this.
Right.
And Idris, amazing example of what can be done quickly. So we're looking at a potential 13 homes that have been acquired a year and a half, right?
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Remarkable. And guys, if you made it this far, rewind back to when we broke down the numbers. They're absurd. As Andy had talked about, you guys see all these real estate podcasts, multifamily guys, they're gurus, right? So you would need to raise, it was $10 million.
I'm going, the way I'm calculating it is figure an average multifamily property. And again, cap rates can ebb and flow, but I used a 4% cap rate, which I know they've gone up. We just used it for easy math. That is what they were and have been over the last, call it, 8 years. So that means if you bought a $10 million building, that building, after management, after property taxes, after all the riffraff, is going to net you about $400,000 a year. And so we figured you're going to have to own 15 of those buildings to make the same amount of monthly income that Idris is making right now.
Wow.
That's $150 million.
And
mark my words, it is not easy to go raise private capital from people.
No, not at all.
Despite what the gurus might tell you.
Right.
Yeah, go try to raise $150 million, guys. Come on.
Tough to make and save that amount, and pretty tough to go raise that amount as well.
Exactly.
And we've kind of broken down the strategies here to where if you want to get into the business, you could apply these strategies to get into it with literally no money out of pocket. So you can do those first steps, learn the business, get the relationships, pitch to investors. It's really the same talk to have, whether you want to lease the property from an investor and maybe pay above market rent, or create some type of partnership to where you guys split the income. We've had a lot of people get into the business. If they're check to check, that's the strategy that they can use. Right. And from there, it's just replicating it. So amazing story, Idris. I love the meetup stuff, because that's something that we both share. And I'm always trying to hammer people to go, hey, go to these meetups. There's so much opportunity there. So a year and a half, we've already kind of broke down what you've done. What are some of the, plans for the future? What's the next kind of 1 to 2 years look like for you?
Yeah. So over the next years and everything, I'm going to really focus on every single house that I look at a way to be able to make money off that house. So I'm looking up to pick up some more, subject to seller financing deals. But in the meantime, if they're not open to that, I'll do the rental arbitrage all day long. And I'm really looking to streamline and really scale this business to take it to another level. I know one of the initiatives they're having here in Atlanta is that Section 8 is going to start paying for single room occupancy. So those are some of the programs that I'm going to look to explore and, really get involved in this affordable housing movement, that's going on nationwide, and just position myself as an authority, a center of influence, as a way of being able to use entrepreneurship to solve social problems.
I love it, man. We'll have to have a part three soon, because I'm sure we could just sit here and we could talk with you all day, man. Great. As Andy mentioned, amazing energy. Guys, this is the power of positive thought, positive energy.
Right.
And again, that's free to get, guys. Free.
Heck of a power hour. This is a power hour right here.
Absolutely. thank you for inviting me.
Well, thank you for coming on again. And like I said, we'll have to have you on again soon here. Andy, I'll kick it to you to see if you have any final words for the folks or any final thoughts.
Nothing really. I think go back, listen to it again. Repetition's the mother of all learning. As I say to all the people that I kind of work with, my job is basically to repeat myself. And, 80% of sales occur after the fifth close. You do have to repeat yourself a lot. I think it's also to listen to things on repeat. Go back and listen to what Idris just said. Use his energy. And man, it's absolutely incredible. So use his energy to inspire you to get started. No better time to get started than now. You got to get started now. The only reason somebody has got it made in the shade is because they planted a tree a long time ago. So start planting your tree today.
Idris, thank you for coming on, man. Any final words for the folks, final thoughts, and feel free to let them know where to find you as well.
The big thing is like what Andy just said, and you can really sum it up. Don't wait to be great. Don't wait. stop. Right now is your opportunity to go out here and make a difference in the lives of individuals who need what we have to offer. And in return, you're going to be able to change the lives of your family and the future generations to come. So that, to me, you know, I'm so passionate about this. This is something that's high in demand. It's something that helps people. And in return, you're going to be able to help yourself. You know, if you want to follow me on my all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, the Pretty House Guy. That's what they call me. Everybody calls me the Pretty House Guy. Just look that up. You'll be able to see me. And then I even have a website, theprettyhouseguy.com.
And we'll have all those links in the description for folks out there. If you are just stumbling onto this for the first time, like we said, those first steps, bare minimum, hey, shoot us. If you have any questions for us, email me and Andy, Brandon and Andy, or Brandon at grouphomeriches.com, Andy at grouphomeriches.com. Get your questions answered. I'm telling you, we have the answer for everything. And that one thing that's holding you back, email us. We'll take care of that from there. Sign up for the free course. That'll go over the basics for you. If it sounds like it's the perfect business for you, we have a ton of different products and services to help you out. The one that I'm excited about is the school group. So as Idris mentioned, thousands of people all helping each other along the way. You could get your questions answered. Hey, we don't have the answer for everything. Me and Andy are learning from that school group as well. And that's only $10 per month right now at the time of recording. So for less than a Netflix subscription, you're going to have the access to a mastermind to help you reach your goals, as well as the opportunities you saw on screen here. There are investors that come to us. They get it. They don't want to do everything themselves. They're looking for people like you guys to partner with. Idris is the perfect example of that. You know, he's walking proof of it, that it works. So Idris, man, thank you for coming on so much. Again, super positive. Me and Andy are pumped up. We're going to have a killer day. And I hope everyone else out there that listens to will as well.
Awesome. Great to be here.
All right. Thank you so much, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Idris.
All right. Thank you.
See ya. Bye.